AP Radio News. I'm Ross Simpson. Violent protests are underway in two major world cities, Kiev in the Ukraine and Bangkok in Thailand. And there's also heavy gunfire in Tripoli, Lebanon, between supporters and opponents of the Syrian regime. Despite the heavy gunfire, a senior official with Syria's Western-backed main opposition group says its leadership will meet to name members of a delegation that will head to a peace conference this week in Geneva. An anti-government rally is underway in Bangkok. About 2,000 people have taken to the streets in a bid to oust Thailand's prime minister. Tens of thousands of Ukrainians are clashing with police this morning in the center of Kiev in defiance of recent legislation that significantly curbs their rights to protest. Here at home, AP correspondent Diane Kepley reports a Postal Service plan to expand business into Staples stores is running into opposition from union workers.
The Postal Workers Union is upset because the outlets would be staffed by people who are not covered by the labor group. And union leaders think the idea is to eventually privatize the mail service. Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe denies that's true. He says the goal is simply to find ways to cut costs and boost revenues.
A regular Sunday morning troop rotation going into the Pakistani tribal region was shattered by an explosion that killed 20 people. The Pakistani Taliban claims responsibility. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says last week's Taliban bombing of a restaurant in Kabul that killed 21 people, including four UN workers and three Americans, won't stop the mission there.
As the United Nations mourns on these terrorist attacks and victims, we remain committed.
This is AP Radio News. If you listen closely, you can hear a lot of oohs and ahs as the newest member of the panda family delights crowds this weekend at the National Zoo.
The lines are long to get into the panda exhibit to see five-month-old Bao Bao. But once people get in, there are a lot of oohs and ahs. Bao Bao weighs a cuddly 18 pounds and is a big hit with the kids.
She was adorable.
Very cute. I'm a panda lover.
They spoke to WJLA-TV. The zoo says the amount of time Bao Bao and her mother, Mei Zhang, will be on display each day depends on their behavior. The cub sleeps about 20 hours a day. Ed Donahue, Washington.
It pays to graduate from high school in the United Arab Emirates. Males who do will only have to serve 9 months in the military. Those who don't graduate will have to serve 2 years under a proposed law in the UAE. Ross Simpson, AP Radio News.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
When I served in Iraq and Afghanistan, my buddies and I would do anything for each other. That's important whether you're in a firefight or fighting to regain your life. When I came home injured, there are people I can count on, like DAV.
DAV, Disabled American Veterans, stands behind America's veterans to make their transition back home easier with free services and help getting the benefits they've earned. Help us fulfill the promise to our men and women who served. Go to DAV.org to learn more.
Imagine someday is today on Saturday, March 22nd, 2014, at the annual Leukemia Ball presented by Pharma, featuring a fabulous silent auction and a chance to win one of two Mercedes-Benz automobiles. The Leukemia Ball raises funds for life-saving cancer research and patient programs provided by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. With music by Huey Lewis and the News and a comedic performance by Ryan Hamilton, guests will enjoy a night to remember. For sponsorship information or to purchase a raffle ticket, visit leukemiaball.org.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio. In this hour, you'll hear directly from our region's finest business leaders. Through each of the interviews, these high-achieving leaders become relatable role models who share how they were able to build their enterprise, their personal secrets of success, about leadership styles and opportunities that lie ahead. Prepare to be inspired and entertained and to hear wisdom unheard elsewhere. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices of Loudoun County Economic Development. And we have a great lineup of guests on our show. Let me first introduce my co-host, Dan Athias, InPowerCoaching.com, and Colin Callahan, Callahan & Associates. Dana, can you give us a rundown on who we have on the show today, please?
We have a great lineup today. We've got Gino Antonelli, co-founder and president of Spear, Inc., Brian Donnellan, SVP of Business Operations and CFO of MRIS, Brian Chavis, CEO, AR Group, and Mary Ellen Taylor, President, Endless Summer Harvest. Why don't we start with Gino? Gino, tell us, what is Spear, Inc.?
Spear, Inc. is a management consulting and information technology solutions provider focused primarily on data analytics, and our customer set is exclusively the federal civilian marketplace, the Department of Defense, as well as the intelligence community.
How large or small is the organization, Gino?
We have about 32 employees.
And how did you get a job with this company?
So myself and my business partner, Richard Pineda, started the company about a year and a half ago.
You started the business with a partner. Why would you go through all the aggravation of a partner and have to split the bottom line with a partner? Why would you do it with a partner?
So that's a great question. Richard and I actually achieved a ton of success in our previous employment lives and had developed a close professional as well as personal relationship and decided that together we were better than apart.
How young were you when you got comfortable and you felt safe with other men? You felt you could trust other men. Where'd that come from, and how young were you when that got developed?
Yeah, so my father was a great role model for me. He actually taught myself as well as my siblings an incredible amount of work ethic at a very, very young age.
What do you mean he taught you? He told you go work hard, or he showed you, or how'd you get that lesson?
Yeah, so he actually showed us. My father is a great American immigrant story. He came to this country at a very young age, built two successful businesses.
Where did he come from?
He came from Italy, obviously, by all the vowels in my name.
So he came from Italy, and he started two businesses in this country.
He did. Yes, he did.
Did you ever work with him as a kid?
I did. As a matter of fact, my father was insistent upon us joining him during summer break.
How young were you when you started working with him?
9 years old.
Did he pay you to do that?
No, but myself nor my siblings ever wanted for anything.
Well, wait, hold on. You're 9 years old. He's not paying you, and all your friends are out playing. That must have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, back in those days it wasn't, but the life lesson that he taught us was phenomenal.
But what do you mean the life lesson
he taught you? It really is about hard work, dealing with people, leading by example, all those types of characteristics they demonstrated to us really have helped me and as well as my siblings in leading our lives.
So I'm imagining this extremely mature 9-year-old, but I can't believe it was that easy. You were the oldest?
I am the oldest of four.
What was it like being the older brother? What would your siblings tell us about you back then?
Hopefully they'd say that I also led by example, that they could trust me, that I was hopefully a positive role model in their lives.
What's this thing about trust, they could trust you? I haven't usually heard that your brothers and sisters, that they thought they could trust you. What's going on here with this trust thing?
Well, I just think that in today's day and age, unfortunately, in some respects, we've become a bit of a sterile environment as it relates to corporate culture, and just this whole element of trust is extremely important.
Wasn't there something earlier where we were talking about some farm somewhere else?
Yeah, you have some experience in this old world business environment where trust is important. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I do. So we have a family farm that still exists in the Abruzzo region of Italy.
And you run it?
Well, actually, my family still owns it, and my siblings and my mom actually have given me the responsibility for managing it on an annual basis. And it's really been in our family for over 100 years.
So when you go back to Italy, and do you get your hands dirty? Do you do business with the Italians?
We actually have about an 8-hour dinner with the gentleman who works the farm for us, and we share about the past and just really about the whole Italian culture and how phenomenal it is.
What do you think?
Wait. What do you mean it's so phenomenal? The Italian culture is so phenomenal. What are you talking about?
Yes, it's about family. It's about tradition. It's about work ethic. My grandfather worked hard with his hands. Back in those days, he would employ, 17 to 20 folks from the town.
And you have an 8-hour dinner? What are you talking? How can you sit still for 8 hours and talk about stuff? Are you serious about this?
Yeah, that's how we roll.
Uh huh.
Gino, I just have a quick question. What do you think your dad would be most proud of about you and the man you've become today?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's a difficult question. I hope that he would view me as a strong father, as a great son, as a great brother, and a good example to the folks that are part of our business.
What's harder, leading a family or leading a business?
So that's a great question, because I often say that when you're an entrepreneur as well as a father, they are analogous situations in that it's the most rewarding and the most challenging experience you'll ever have in your life. And I think that they're equal. I don't think that one's more difficult.
Does being a good dad make you a better leader?
I think so, yeah.
How? What are you talking about? I'm trying to figure out the connection.
Great example here for your children. Lead by example. That's the best approach.
Wes, you have a question there?
So if I had your oldest child sitting here, and we asked the question, what do you think about your father as a role model? What do you hope the answer would be?
I hope that the answer would be that I have given my son, whose name is Raphael, and by the way, he's named after my dad, talk about a traditional family, that I have also given him the same things that my father's passed along to me, and that being strong work ethic, strong leadership qualities, an ability to interface with people, and a great role model as a father.
Well, that's good.
So any of them done any bricklaying yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Lois, were you going to ask the same question? All right, so tell us about the women in your life. How did mom affect you, and what did mom give you?
Yes, so while dad worked endless hours, including weekends, mom really was the element of stability in our family. She provided the meals for us, the cookies when we came home from school, the warm cookies.
What did mom do to you that you use in business nowadays? How did those warm cookies... Where's that translating to good business?
I hadn't thought about that before, but probably some element of caring for our folks, our employees, and
no, confidence. Wait. You're running a business here. Business, yeah. I thought was blood and guts, and you do what I say or I fire you, right? Yeah,
that's not how Spears culture. That's not what we're about. We're actually about people. People being both our what we call our Spear mates. Folks who work for the company as well as our customers. So I think we often forget
Are you actually, there's actually spearmates? You've come up with this word?
So we call our internal corporate staff either Spearians, right, or spearmates. And yes, so that's what we call our folks.
And how are these people treated? And where'd that come from?
Hopefully, if you were to ask them, they'd say that we treat them as family. And a part of a growing organization, and give them opportunity, a voice at the table, an opportunity to succeed.
So what's a healthy difference between running a family and running a business? Because they're not the same thing.
Yeah, they're not. Quite frankly, I don't know that there is a difference in the way that we've built Spear, other than the fact that when the day is done, actually, it's just like a household, right? You need to make sure that you have positive cash flow, that you're saving some money to retain earnings, you're spending wisely. And then from a leadership perspective, you know, as parents, you need to make sure that you are a great role model for your children, and as a business leader, that you're a great role model for, as we like to refer to our folks as spearmates.
Mm-hmm. You're married?
I am.
What's your wife's first name?
Danielle.
Who's in charge of the family? You or your wife?
So we also have a traditional family in that. So first of all, I could not have began Spear without the support of Danielle. She's been absolutely phenomenal. Anybody who is an entrepreneur knows that without the phenomenal support from their spouse, there's no way that they can succeed. So Danielle is responsible for, she has her responsibilities in our household, and I do, and we understand what those responsibilities are.
You're not answering my question. Who wears the pants in the family, Danielle or you?
We each have a leg and a pair of pants.
I got to go talk to Danielle. Real quick, yes.
So obviously you've taught your children a lot, but what have they taught you?
What a great question.
Yeah, that is a great question. What have my children taught me? They taught me to be a better person, right? So my son's 14 years old and my daughter's 11. So they're at these critical ages right now where, as a role model, they really do look to myself and my wife for guidance, right? So they may act and pretend like they really do not want those what I call guardrails in life, but they really do. They want us to help them during these, you know, impressionable, difficult years. So they've taught me that I need to be a great, great role model for them.
Wow. What is the website address of Spear, Inc.?
Spear-Inc.net.
We've been speaking with Gino Antonelli, co-founder and president of Spear, Inc., here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this Business Spotlight. And your name is?
Mike Schmidtman.
And Mike, which organization are you with?
I'm with For Profit.
And what is For? Who are your customers? Who are the customers for For Profit?
We work for people who sell information technology products and services.
And what do you do for them that's special?
Typically, they want to improve their sales, hire better people, or make more money.
And what do you do with them and for them?
I work with the sales leaders, that's the sales managers, to attract and hire better people, to win more new accounts, and to try to raise the margins on what they're selling.
Well, why do you like what you do for a living?
I love it because we're transforming businesses and I get to work with people and make a difference.
You actually see the results of how you're actually able to transform a business and help people?
Sure.
Give me an example of that.
Well, what's happening right now in the sales world, Herb, is that the whole selling model is changing. As people have access to the internet and their own information, they don't need salespeople as information deliverers as they used to. Mm-hmm. So as the sales world is changing, that changes the way that we have to attract and hire people. It changes the way they sell and represent their products and services. And it changes the way the whole selling model is handled within a company. And so we help them manage that transition.
So you're helping businesses transition into what they need to be today, and one of the reasons is because of the whole world of information technology.
Exactly.
What's the website address?
www.for-profit.com.
One more time?
www.for-profit.com.
This is Herb Cohen, and this has been your Business Spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Dana Theis, EmpowerCoaching.com, and Colin Callahan, Callahan & Associates. I'd like to introduce Brian Dunellen, Senior Vice President of Business Operations and CFO of MRIS. Brian, what is MRIS? What do you folks do?
MRIS is one of the largest MLSs in the country. We represent the Mid-Atlantic region.
What's an MLS? What are you talking about?
Multiple listing service. Basically, it allows the offer of cooperation and compensation among listing agents to other real estate agents.
This is residential real estate?
Residential real estate.
All right.
To facilitate the efficiency of buying
houses. If one agent lists the property, they can put it up on this MLS, and then the agents that might have a customer then have an inventory to work from.
It's a marketplace.
So you happen to be the Senior Vice President of Business Operations and CFO. How old is this organization?
It's been in existence since 1996.
And how long have you been there?
I've been there a little over 7 years.
And did you start as the Senior Vice President of Business Operations and CFO?
I started just as a CFO.
Just as a CFO. But I thought that the CFO was like a numbers guy, you know, that he could add, subtract, or she could add, subtract, multiply, divide in the back of their head. It's like, you know, they don't need paper, let alone a computer. But that's completely different than the world of operations, isn't it?
Well, I think CFO are real people, too. They're all not just the numbers people. I mean, okay. I wasn't a numbers person in the accounting sense when I came through. I was doing it for a means to an end. Uh-huh. I was always more interested in what the numbers meant and how to use those numbers as opposed to just compiling them and reporting those.
Oh, I get it. So to you, the numbers happen to be another tool.
Absolutely.
And that's interesting. So you're really a people kind of person.
I am a people kind, yes. I think that's a true statement.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from D.C.
D.C. How many brothers and sisters?
I have two sisters and one brother.
Two sisters and one brother. And where are you in the pecking order?
I'm second.
Uh-huh. How'd you get affected by being the second?
Boy, we had a really good family life. Mm-hmm. My sister really was a leader. And I think if you look at my other brothers and sister, or my other brother and sister, you'd see that we all sort of followed in her footsteps.
What do you mean you followed in her footsteps? What are you talking about?
My sister Mary Ellen was working very early in her life, mm-hmm. Very industrious, mm-hmm. Was working part-time jobs at night, going to school. We sort of picked up on what she was doing and followed that. As a matter of fact, my brother and my younger sister are all in finance as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Loyalty means a great deal to you, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Why?
You know, going back to trust, going back to understanding what's going to happen when you put something out there mm-hmm. and how it's going to come back, it's important to me to know that folks are going to be there for you and they're actually going to come through on what it is they say they're going to do.
How does that translate to your business career?
I've always dealt in honesty, and I think trust comes from honesty.
Wait. We're talking about business. What are you talking about, trust and honesty in business? I read the newspapers about what's going on. Isn't that real?
I'm sure it is real. I mean, it's not real in sort of my life and what I want to do. I believe that you talk to people honestly and directly with respect. You have expectations. You hold folks up to those expectations, and you hold yourself up to those expectations as well.
Mm-hmm. So how do you know you've been successful?
Well, I guess you can measure the better. Are we talking about business here?
Well, however you want to answer it.
I guess it's how you feel about yourself. If you feel good about yourself, if you feel good about the company, I guess you can look back and say you've done some pretty good things there.
How interesting. So going into the future, what's the future of this MLS thing? Is there more of a need for it tomorrow or less of a need?
As the current model is, I think there is a need for it in the future. Maybe there'll be some changes to it. Technology mm-hmm. is always changing this business, mm-hmm. but this business of real estate is a personal business. So uh-huh. it's sort of a confluence of these events.
And you've been there for 7 years.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And how long ago did you assume this role of Senior Vice President of Business Operations in addition to the CFO role?
I was given that role about 9 months after I started.
9 months after you started. Why did they give that to you 9 months after they started? The person that was doing it left?
No. It's a lot going on there. We're a technology company, we're a service company, and we're a marketplace.
But why did they give you the role of Senior Vice President of Business Operations if somebody didn't leave that position? Did they see something in you that was special?
I think I do it well. I think
what was it they saw in you that was special?
I think I can bring groups together. I'm a good problem solver. I allow air for things to develop and then come up with a plan and move forward.
How interesting, Colin.
How young were you the first time you realized you could bring groups together and that trust was important?
You know,
Now that you say that,
probably, you know, as a teenager, friends, you know, and I would always coordinate, pull things together.
Like, give us an example. What do you mean?
You know, a trip to the roller skating or ice skating or coordinate a hockey game on the ponds, you know, things like that. I was doing that back then.
You were organizing the kids and also making sure that everybody, you were herding all the cats, making sure that everybody was on the same page?
I don't know that I was the best herder at that time, but I think I actually put the idea out and got enough momentum behind it.
Buy-in. Yeah. So you're good. Is that similar to what you're doing nowadays?
I do a lot of negotiating, yes.
Give us an idea of how that translates. You know, I can see at 15 getting the kids skating together.
Right.
Give us an example of how you do that nowadays.
Well, I've come to realize there's no one right answer. There's a lot of ways to get to that answer. I think teams are important to business these days. Effective teams, because I think teams by itself don't actually lend to anything other than maybe a lot of wasted time. So I see this team, you empower a team, you get them to bring their ideas at the time, and you make a decision.
You're all about people, aren't you? I mean, that really rings through your soul. Are you married or single?
I am actually single right now.
Uh-huh. Do you have any children?
I have 2 children.
How old are they?
I have a daughter that's 18 and a son that's 16.
Either one of them like you?
They have some components of me.
Like what? What do you mean?
I see my son, my daughter isn't quite as aggressive as I am, but mm-hmm. I see my son growing in his aggressiveness, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. I mean that in a really good way every day as he gets older.
You're saying that aggressive could be a positive trait?
I think so.
What do you mean?
Well, I think just sitting on your laurels is not going to accomplish anything. If you want something, you've got to work for it. I mean, Gina talked about this earlier. You've got to put your goals, and you got to get those goals.
Yeah, but earlier you were talking about the team and people and being nice and respectful. They're like dichotomous, being sweet and loving as opposed to getting results, right?
I think it's how you develop your team. If you give your goal, if you empower them with accountability, empower them with decision-making, and put deadlines for them, they're going to accomplish these things. I think they want to accomplish these things.
Have you had any turning points in your life?
Yeah, I've had some both personal and business turning points in my life. Yeah, I've had jobs that haven't actually turned out well. You have to step back, regroup, and then move forward, a growing experience. Same in personal.
What have you learned through going through multiple turning points that has helped make you successful today?
Well, I think everything is what you are, so all these things add up to what it is you are today. And it's an accumulation of events, of happenings, of good things, of bad things, and you put those all together, and that's who you are.
How would you do it differently?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
I mean, listen, I'd like a lot of things changed, but I think it would change everything that I have right now, and I like who I am, I like where I'm going, and I like what I have set for myself to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. What's the most important thing in life?
To be personally, to be happy, find happiness.
And what's that look like for you?
Balance of work, balance of family.
Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
You know, you hear folks saying, you know, on your deathbed, you don't wish you worked more. But, you know, I think that comes with that's a loaded answer, too. So mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you do everything in life to the most that you can to be happy.
Personal life goal that you want to achieve before you die?
Let's see. So I've got a good job. I've got a good future. We've got a good company. I've got good kids. I have a great girlfriend. I think I'm on my way to achieving those things that are going to make me happy at the end of life.
Does that change through the course of time? I mean, the
absolutely.
Goals?
Absolutely.
So the balance shifts in terms of what you're looking for. Maybe add a new component like going, you know, jumping off a cliff or something like
no,
that?
No, that's never in there. There's always an answer.
That's interesting. So Dana? Yeah.
How about mentors? Tell us about some good mentors you've had.
Well, again, I mentioned my older sister has been a mentor. I have a great boss right now who's a mentor. I've had mentors that I've learned what not to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think all these things add up to figuring out what it is you want to do.
So a mentoring relationship can actually kind of be two-way. You can
learn what to do and
learn
what not
to do.
I think so. Absolutely, I think so.
That's interesting. Yep, Colin?
So what was your dad doing growing up?
My dad owned his own insurance company back in the
day.
And
did you work with him as a kid, go into the office?
He would take all, my sister came along a little bit later, but he would take us all into the office and work with him on Saturdays and even during the week.
Yeah. What did you learn from that experience of being with your dad and watching and all that that shows up in your leadership style today?
Well, I was young, but my father was very outgoing, and I'm naturally not that outgoing. I mean, he was a salesman, and I learned to appreciate that. So, in my personality, I've figured out components that I do well, and I try to pull on that from time to time.
Great, it's interesting. So, it sounds like you're pretty content.
No, I actually, I'm content with the direction I'm going, but I'm never content with where I am at the particular point.
What's the difference between content and happy?
Actually, I would prefer to use happy because content sounds a little less, and not to use the word aggressive again, but a little little less going after what it is you want.
So this thing about setting goals and moving the team toward the goals, that's really who you are.
I think that's probably that, and solving problems is my biggest goal at my office.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the website address for MRIS?
I have two. I have MRIS.com and MRISHomes.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Brian Dunellen, Senior Vice President of Business Operations and CFO of MRIS. This is Herb Cohn with my co-host, Dan Athias, EmpowerCoaching.com, and Colin Callahan, Callahan & Associates. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this Business Spotlight. And your name is?
Dana Theus with EmpowerCoaching.com.
And what makes EmpowerCoaching.com special?
Well, we help mid-level and senior leaders turn professional success into personal development.
Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Well, today, leaders to succeed at any level need to master soft skills. They need to be able to manage and lead people at all levels, and that means they have to get along with people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they also need to master the process of learning to get along with people, and that's what we support them to do.
And you're supporting who to work better or to do what?
Well, for example, a professional who aspires to be in a senior leadership position needs to be able to negotiate their relationships with their staff, with their superior, with their peers.
Mm-hmm.
They need to communicate confidently in all kinds of formats, you know, one-on-one and in meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And we give them the resources to learn to do that and then be better at it.
And these resources are both one-on-one as well as online?
Yeah, we have a lot of programs online because this kind of support is usually cost prohibitive, and we make it very affordable by providing a lot of online resources as well as personal support.
How can I learn more about what you're offering and get in contact with you? Is there a website address?
InPowerCoaching.com. That's I-N, PowerCoaching.com.
All right, excellent. And your name again is?
Dana Theus.
Theus. This has been your Business Spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, co-host, Herb Cohen. And I'm here with Dana Theus, EmpowerCoaching.com, and Colin Callahan, Callahan & Associates, Executive Leaders Radio. I'd like to introduce Brian Chavis, who is the CEO of the AR Group. What is the AR Group? What do you guys do?
Well, our tagline is that we provide cloud and information technology services to commercial clients, but in reality, most CEOs have advisors in healthcare or law or accounting, and we provide that kind of service for technology.
All right. So tell me, how large or how small is this organization?
We have 12 employees and then, of course, a lot of contractors.
12 employees. And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Two and two.
Where are you in the pecking order?
Second.
Second. And did anything special or remarkable happen to you in your early childhood?
Well, the most remarkable thing is that my father died before I was born.
Your father passed before you were born. Huh. What gift did he give you?
Well, he was Native American, so our tribe believes that we met on the other side. In other words, he was going out of life, and I was coming into life as we know it. And so that gives me one special power, which is to be a fire quencher.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Well, maybe that's why I'm in technology, because I'm constantly putting out fires.
What other gifts did he give you?
You know, it's interesting having a father who's in heaven, you know, and it's difficult at times. You know, you don't have the solid feedback, as we heard from everyone before. You always question in the end if you're on the right track.
Is faith important to you?
Sure.
Does faith weave its way into your business?
Probably. I'm not sure that it does literally, but faith, my idea of faith is really spiritual.
What do you mean?
Well, I think that you treat people in a way that you could see them on the other side and be all good and fine with it.
Tell me a little bit about dad passed, and you have siblings, and how'd you get by when you were a kid?
Well, I think we just scrapped. I mean, we return Coke bottles. We sold papers. Sold papers at the Indianapolis 500. That was great for money.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we could do, get by.
Didn't you feel that? Wasn't that demeaning doing that kind of stuff?
No, we thought it was great. I think we had money. I mean, it's not like we had an allowance.
You were collecting nickels and dimes and pennies. That didn't feel demeaning to you?
No, not in any way.
How did that help you in your business career, and how are you applying that nowadays?
Well, I think I always had the confidence that I could make money and a life without, you know, being beholden to someone else.
So you learned about being resourceful. You learned about marketing. You learned about people.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
These are some gifts that came from Dad.
You know, that's a deep question.
That's where I'm going. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I had constant conversations in my mind with my father, who did not exist in this world.
Mm. Well, so, not physically.
Physically, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Lois, did you have a question?
I want to know what tribe you're from, and how does your tribe's culture inform what you do in the business world?
What a perfect question.
Well, I'm a member of the Lumbee tribe in North Carolina, and...
Lois, stay with that, please. Please.
Again. The Lumbee tribe is interesting in that, you know, we have a university. It's now the University of North Carolina at Pembroke. Very, very big emphasis on education. All of my cousins, for the most part, are professionals. They all have degrees. There's a very, very high standard in the family, and I'm always sort of outpaced by my cousins, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Your business career, tell us more about how your childhood affected your business career. Tell us about Mom, actually. What was Mom doing when you were a kid?
My mother worked in a chain factory. She was a steel worker building a motorcycle-type chain in a pre-war factory.
How'd you feel about that?
You know, I was proud of her. She'd work the third shift. You know, I would go along with her and sit against the fence when she carried a picket sign for the union. I mean... You know, my stepfather was a good man, but he owned a bar, corner bar, and sort of, my mother was the breadwinner. That's, mm-hmm. I guess, what I'm saying.
So you learned about, yep, yes, Darlene?
Just want to ask, do you have any kids of your own?
Yeah, I have a 10-year-old boy and a 12-year-old daughter.
So not having a father here in the physical world, how did you learn to become a father?
Well, you know, I was at the slow group. You know, I didn't have kids until well into my 40s, and I think that's really fortunate because I don't think I would have been the best father early on. But as I say, I snatched victory from the jaws of defeat, and my wife fortunately was young enough and convinced me that children was the right idea, and I thank her for it every day.
Mm-hmm. Dana?
Why did you go into business for yourself?
Well, I was working for a government contractor, making pretty good money, but when my boss bought his second Ferrari, I knew it was time for me to go.
What? Why? I mean, the guy's rich, so what?
Well, money was important to me, but as I say it, the most important thing for me was to keep my head out of my boss's aspirations.
And you've described independence as becoming even more important to you, so you've always been very independent.
Well, I think... You know, given my father's situation, I never really had that authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I deal well with authority. You know, I think I do better as I get older to understand what that means. But
so when you're running a company and you're managing employees and customer contracts, don't you have to be authoritative?
Well, as long as I'm the authority, it's okay.
It sounds to me that, you know, you learned a great deal of confidence. You developed your confidence at a young age because Dad wasn't there. You learned that you could make money. You know, you learned about people around you. Wes, did you have a question?
I'm curious how your employees would feel about you from the perspective of your leadership skills, given your background.
Well, I think my employees, I was always very... I know I sound authoritative, but, you know, I just lead, as you said, by example. And I think I've always been lean toward the softer side when it comes to my employees. I'm pretty lenient with them as long as they're accountable. In my industry, that's really important in technology because you've got to build trust, and the only way you do that is through accountability. So I think they would say that that's probably the most important thing in my leadership style, is the importance of accountability.
Mm-hmm. Good, Wes.
And how about your children on leadership style?
You know, I'm working that. You know, it's really the greatest gift to have children. I had no idea how valuable things are until you have kids.
What do you mean you didn't understand how valuable things are until you have kids? What do you mean?
The value of your kids to you and your life so surpasses anything that we can see around us that's just absolutely absurd. So I think that, you know, I work very hard at leadership with my children. It took me a long time to sort of grow into leadership in my life. Like I said, I think I was a late bloomer. And it's foremost for me. We discuss it. I use Muhammad Ali as a role model for my son. We discuss other great leaders, not myself. I don't know if they know so much about what I do.
What's the one leadership skill you wish you'd acquired earlier on?
Temperance. You know, I think that my temperament early on was a hindrance to me. I was not able to keep my emotions at bay sometimes when things weren't exactly going my way.
Colin?
What did you learn from your mom that shows up in your leadership style today?
I mean, my mother did whatever it took. Mm-hmm. I mean, and she let us get along. I mean, we were latchkey kids, mm-hmm. you know, so I don't. My employees don't do timesheets, you know. They get their job done, and if they don't, they move on.
Mm-hmm. What's a latchkey kid have to do with timesheets?
Well, I never had to explain to my mother where I was. I mean, I could take a bus downtown in Indianapolis when I was 10, and she was okay with that. So I'm okay with my employees doing what they need to do to get their work done without being, you know, constantly accountable for every minute of the day.
So you're comfortable trusting. You feel safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that spill over into how your team feels about their work environment?
Yeah, I think it manifests itself in loyalty. I mean, that's where it comes down to the end. Certainly, you hope they trust you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm absolutely certain they do, but I think that builds the loyalty.
Yes, Dana?
So I'm curious, with your background, what kind of mentors you've had?
You know, I've been listening to this mentor discussion here, and I can't point to too many people for that.
Do you mentor others today?
You know, my leadership style is one of coaching more than anything else. And when I think of mentor, it's some kind of hierarchical relationship there, so which I wouldn't be comfortable with.
What's the difference in your mind between mentoring and coaching? What does a coach do as a leader?
I think the coaching is happening minute by minute by minute by minute, and I think of mentoring as being more structured than that. Mm-hmm. I may be wrong about it, but mm-hmm. coaching is all the time.
Brian, what is the website address for the AR Group?
ARGroup.com.
ARGroup.com. We've been speaking with Brian Chavis, CEO of the AR Group here on Executive Leaders Radio, with my co-host Dan Athias, EmpowerCoaching.com, and Colin Callahan, Callahan & Associates. This is Herb Cohn. We'll be back in a moment right after this Business Spotlight.
I'm here with Todd Meyer, Business Performance Advisor at Insperity. Todd, what is Insperity?
Insperity is an organization that is an HR outsourcing organization that works on the people side of businesses.
What makes your business special?
We tailor our solutions for each individual client, so I would say that it's being fluid and flexible for what their actual needs are.
Why is that so important?
Well, so we can be reactive. People are probably the biggest part of the business, and to be reactive in a certain moment, that we're able to tailor solutions, positive or negative, to the business.
So who's your perfect client? What are they looking for?
It's a mindset. Our perfect client is someone that has a strategy about their people, willing to look outside the box and willing to focus on their core competencies and put things behind them that they aren't the experts in.
What do customers appreciate so much about working with you?
Well, I think being a consultant, that if we don't have the resources, we're able to look inside of our book of clients or as other resources to bring to the table to solve their business solutions.
What do you love so much about your job?
Meeting CEOs and individuals on a daily basis, and every one of them I've found it has a different set of goals and solutions and or problems.
What's the website?
www.insperity.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Dana Theus, EmpowerCoaching.com, and Colin Callahan, Callahan & Associates. I'd like to introduce Mary Ellen Taylor. Mary Ellen is the president of an organization known as Endless Summer Harvest. What is Endless Summer Harvest?
It's actually a farm, not an organization.
It's
but
a
we
farm.
Are a business, uh-huh. Agribusiness, of course, largest in the state of Virginia. Yeah. But Endless Summer Harvest
largest
is a...
Largest what in the state of Virginia?
Largest economy comes out of agriculture in the
so?
State of Virginia.
Okay.
The Commonwealth, absolutely.
All right.
But Endless Summer Harvest is just a small slice of that. We're up in Percival, Virginia, and we grow lettuce hydroponically mm-hmm. in a controlled environment, which enables me and the team to grow it 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. And we don't use pesticides. Mm-hmm. Our primary customers are farmers markets mm-hmm. and high-end restaurants.
So you must have, when you were a kid, you must have grown up on a farm.
No, I grew up in an Air Force family, and actually we had powder milk and green beans out of a can.
Wait a minute. So did you move a lot as a kid?
We did. Not as often as other military families, but quite often. We lived in the Philippines and in Germany and Southern California, Southern Illinois.
How'd that affect you moving around like that to these different countries?
It affected all of us, all my siblings and myself, differently, but it had a very profoundly positive effect on me. I was able to, with each tour of duty and transfer, really almost reinvent myself. I could, if I decided one time I wanted to be president of student council because I admired who was in the past, I then became president of student council at the next school I was at.
So you had the opportunity of, because the people didn't know you from previous, to be somebody different each time.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. So how did that ability to reinvent yourself affect your business career?
Well, within my career, I was also either laid off or worked for companies who closed. And so I think that that helped me certainly get through it and move on. All of the careers and experience that I've had prepared me for managing a farm and managing a team of people.
Is it fair to say that one of your greatest strengths is your positive attitude?
Oh, absolutely.
Is it possible that one of your greatest strengths, your positive attitude, came from your ability to know that you could reinvent yourself?
Yes.
What do you mean?
I might not know the mountain to move, but if you tell me which one, I'll get that done for you. So I might not be the visionary that knows which mountain to move, but mm-hmm. if I have always surrounded myself with people who are smarter than I am, and if, although I'm not the visionary, I know a great idea. So if I know that's the mountain to mm-hmm. gain, I mm-hmm. will get that mountain, I assure you.
Dana?
And that comes from positive attitude. It's certainly not intelligence.
I don't know about that. Dana?
We know you like to be in charge. How young were you when you took charge?
I'm sure from entrance in life. I was born a redheaded, left-handed female, and I ran my family. I'm confident they would tell you.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have two older brothers and mm-hmm. a darling little sister.
Wait a minute. You have two older brothers and a darling little sister, and you ran the kids?
As the first female child arriving, I do believe so, yes.
How'd your brothers feel about that?
Oh, I don't your think they liked brothers. It very much, but they got in line because
what choice did they have?
Right.
Darlene?
So especially in today's market, I know a lot of people are getting laid off, and you mentioned that you've been laid off a couple of times. What do you think was the most important lesson you've learned when you've gotten laid off?
Oh, wow. To pause and use that time really in a positive way to reflect on, again, how I want to reinvent myself, but also to appreciate the people who pick up the garbage every day in your neighborhood, or the postman who takes out the mail, or the person at the grocery store, because I wasn't you know, you're not running around like a maniac professionally when you're working. And so I think that was the lesson, is to just stop and smell the roses and appreciate those that are around you that really make your world better. And particularly sometimes I think the lowest common denominator that isn't appreciated.
Mark?
So you were a serial employee for most of your life until you hit about age 50, and suddenly you shifted to an entrepreneur as a lettuce farmer.
That is
what
correct.
Led to that?
What a great way to phrase the question.
Absolutely. Opportunity and being in the right place at the right time and knowing the right people. As that is always what greeted me at the end of any avenue that closed. And I went to Walt Disney World, and I saw Epcot Center, and there was a ride called The Land, which is a farm of the future. It's a hydroponic farm. Friends of mine also wanted to begin a business in Loudoun County. He had worked for AOL. He had the capital. And so we said, let's build the farm of the future. My husband is a curator down at the United States Botanic Garden. Again, I'm surrounding myself with people who are much smarter and can make this happen. And so together, we really built this farm of the future, although hydroponics is very ancient technology.
Can you describe your workforce?
Yes, my workforce is women. We are all women. They are moms. They're professionally educated. Every single one of them has more degrees than I do. They have come to Loudoun County for the schools. Their husbands have full-time jobs and benefits, so they put their kids on the bus, and they come in, and they work very hard. It's a hot environment. It's a cold environment. It's a wet environment. They plan out. They harvest. They pack. They pack special orders for our restaurants.
What else are you thinking there, Mark? Yeah.
I'm just wondering, why is it all women working for you part-time?
Right. It's not necessary on this high-tech farm, because it's controlled by a computer, to have people on site all the time. And so generally, it only is necessary to work 4 or 5 hours a day. Instead of having one person work 10 hours in the greenhouse, I have three people that work 3 hours. It's also very difficult to get a man in Loudoun County that will work for somewhere between $15 and $25. We don't have a migrant farm labor. It is the richest county in America, and a part-time educated labor force to me is just ideal. These are also women who are inspired, who have goals, who
Who are some of your customers, Mary Ellen?
I have awesome customers.
Such as?
Starting with Jose Andreas, who is one of the top chefs in America.
Who else?
Has all the great restaurants in Loudoun County, Magnolia Mills, Tuscarora's, Fireworks.
Keep going.
I also have a client at 1700 Pennsylvania Avenue. If you recall, during
a client,
an
average
family.
Everyday client.
Yes. If you recall, during the Obama campaign, there was a Time magazine cover that said something about arugula.
Yeah.
And so that's when Mary Ellen launched in to make sure that she met the executive chef at the White House.
So you're supplying the White House as well.
Yes.
Excellent. Colin?
So the farm of the future here isn't just about hydroponic growing lettuce. There's something more here. I'm hearing about technology. I'm hearing about the lettuce and all. But there's also something about the people, the way you described that, you know. So tell us more about the employer of the future that you're building here.
The employer of the future needs to be somebody who encourages people to do their best, not one that has a plan program to improve what you're not doing great. That the farm of the future employer is a person who respects their team.
Are you more like your mom or your dad?
More like my father.
Mm-hmm. How so?
My dad was ended up retired general of the United States Air Force, and he has a great just strength, I guess, of just.
So how does that strength translate into the way that you work with your employees?
I believe I probably impart to them respect and that they believe in themselves and that they can do things that they have never done. Like, none of my people have ever grown lettuce. I've never grown lettuce. I've never gone to a farmer's market and traded lettuce.
Does the White House realize they're eating lettuce that you don't know anything about?
It is the finest arugula in the land, but that is because of the team that I have.
Dana?
So I'm really curious, all those years where you were getting laid off, do you think that was the universe trying to tell you to go open your own business and explore this?
Oh, no. I'm not sure what the universe was trying to tell Mary Ellen, but again, I just kept putting myself out there, keeping myself with very positive people.
What did Mom give you that you're using nowadays?
My mother gave me the love of, a spiritual element to myself, a very devotional.
My question was, what did your mom give you that you're using in business today? And you said spiritual?
Absolutely.
In business?
Oh, certainly.
What are you talking about?
Well, you have to have faith. You have to believe in your people and in things that are beyond yourself. Certainly as a farmer, I realize, although I grew in a controlled environment, I do not control the environment.
Interesting business. What's your website address, Mary Ellen?
My website is ES Harvest.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Mary Ellen Taylor, president of Endless Summer Harvest. Dana, could you give us a rundown on who we've had the opportunity of hanging out with today?
I'd like to thank all of our wonderful guests. This has been a fantastic conversation. We were talking with Gino Antonelli, co-founder and president of Spear, Inc., Brian Donellan, senior vice president, business operations, and CFO of MRIS, Brian Chavis, CEO of AR Group, and Mary Ellen Taylor, president, Endless Summer Harvest.
I'd like to thank my co-host, Dan Mathias, EmpowerCoaching.com, and Colin Callahan, Callahan Associates, for giving me a hand, hopefully asking the right kinds of questions to keep our audience entertained and educated. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today. Have a nice day, and bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Executive Leaders Radio, the region's premier radio show highlighting local executive leaders. We hope you've enjoyed the show here on 1500 AM. You can learn more about Executive Leaders Radio by visiting executiveleadersradio.com or tune in next time right here on 1500 AM. That's executiveleadersradio.com.
Imagine someday is today. And envision a world without cancer on Saturday, March 22nd, 2014, at the annual Leukemia Ball presented by Pharma. One of D.C.'s largest and most anticipated non-political black tie galas, the Leukemia Ball brings together influential businessmen and women for the fight against blood cancer. Featuring a world-class silent auction with travel packages from American Airlines and a chance to win one of two Mercedes-Benz automobiles, the ball raises funds for life-saving cancer research and patient programs provided by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. With music by Grammy Award-winning band Huey Lewis and the News and a comedic performance by Ryan Hamilton, 2,000 guests will enjoy a night to remember. There are more than 19,000 people in the D.C. metro region living with leukemia, lymphoma, or myeloma. Help the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society cure blood cancer by attending this can't-miss event. For sponsorship information or to purchase a raffle ticket, visit leukemiaball.org.
This is an important message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Protect yourself against hypothermia and frostbite during cold weather. Wear warm clothing that covers your skin and remove any wet clothing immediately. Limit your time outdoors. Watch for signs of hypothermia and frostbite among elderly adults, babies, people drinking alcohol, and others at risk. Seek immediate medical attention if you suspect someone has hypothermia or frostbite. To learn more, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
I am for the child who's had 7 addresses in a single year because she's in foster care, because her father abused her, and because her mother couldn't believe her. I am for her. The child who no longer believes in others or believes in herself. I am for that child. So I am there for that child. To listen to her. To speak for her. To champion without compromise for what's in her best interest. Because if I am, she will be half as likely to languish in foster care and that much more likely to find a safe, permanent home. That is the child I am for. I am a volunteer child advocate. I am you.
Lift up a child's voice, a child's life. Get involved at CASAForChildren.org.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. and federalnewsradio.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility.